Good morning, Asbury.
Good morning.
Let's stand and worship together.
To the world, and the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, and the Savior reigns. Let all and their songs implore, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat. The sounding joy, joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul.
Treat this morning. We have some amazing kiddos who are going to lead us in worship.
Well, good morning. It is good to see you here. And man, all of this, all of the kids, and I mean, you see what you got coming. And sorry, you see what you got coming. And before I hear any more jokes, I know Mr. Rogers called. He wants his sweater back. Well, it is going to be a good day this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, welcome, welcome. My name is Doug Walker. I'm the associate pastor here at Asbury United Methodist Church. And I ask that members and guests alike, please fill out the guest pads and the membership pads as they're passed down. That way we have a record of your attendance, please. And as we go through the announcements, I just have a few this morning. All of you that turned in your giving cards, your tithe cards. I'm having a hard time with the words. All I can say is thank you very much. It is only through your faithfulness in giving that the ministries of this church continue, that we reach out. And then there are so many ministries that we have here that you may not be aware of them. If you want to know about anything going on here at the church, call me. Call me, and I'll be happy to tell you about it face-to-face. I'll be happy to handcuff you into a couple of them and get your help. There's really blessings to be had here. So thank you for your faithfulness. The Carols of Christmas, we're continuing today, and we're going to look at the heart of Mary today. But as you can see, hope, joy, peace, and love. This is the Advent series. This is the second Sunday of such. We're going to have a wonderful time next Sunday, and then, of course, on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve Day, we'll be having a wonderful services as well, because they will be at 4, 7, and 11 o'clock are going to be our candlelight services. We will have one joint service, everybody together at 10 o'clock. It's going to be in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. in the morning. 10 a.m. is in the morning, right? Okay. Wow. But then that night, 4, 7, 11 will be our candlelight services, and we will have, as you can see on screen, there will be children's child care, or the child care will be at 4 o'clock and at 7 o'clock, and then at the 4 o'clock and 11 o'clock services, there's going to be a brass quartet playing, which always adds so very much. Like the bells add to, it just seems like brass is just the thing to add to that. Next weekend, Lessons in Carols featuring the harpist, Rebecca Ricks, will be in our chancel choir. We're going to be in the divine services, both the early and later services, and also the music extravaganza featuring the praise band is going to be in here. The only bad part about that is the music extravaganza is going to be going on in here when the lessons and carols are going to be going on in there, and you just can't be in two places at once, so you got to choose. It's going to be glorious, glorious, no matter which service that you're in. Be in prayer, if you would please, for the confirmand service. It's going on right now. We have four confirmands. You see their names there, Van, Andrew, Emily, and Chase, and also their mentors. This is a big, big thing in the life of those young people. So be in prayer this morning. Remember them in prayer, and also today, because today is a milestone for them. And I think that I have hit all of the... There's only one other one that I would like to bring up. In your bulletin, you will see an insert that is called Adopt a Saint is the headline. And as a matter of fact, if you look closely, that stained glass window, if you walk through the sanctuary, that's one of our stained glass windows. Thank you, Cindy. Our list of those individuals that cannot come anymore continues to grow. And it's part of the congregational care. I admit that, but it's where my heart is, because these people are just, I mean, their hearts are still here at Asbury, even though they cannot come. Every time I go see them, they continue to ask, how is everything going? How's the church doing? Have you seen so-and-so? Tell Pastor Mary I said hello. Gosh, I mean, it's just, it just rips your heart out because they can't come. Well, here's the chance that we can bless them, their Asbury family, going to see them. I ask that you look at this and prayerfully consider being a part of the Adopt-a-Saint ministry here. It doesn't require much of your time at all. But I guarantee you, you'll start out in January and February spending a few minutes with them. And by the time November and December comes, you're going to be spending hours with them. They have so much joy in their hearts, and they're so thankful when some of their family members comes and sees them. Amen. I'd like to invite, I don't think I have any more. Brian, I'd like to invite you to come up and give a special announcement, if you will.
We just wanted to take a quick minute to let you know about the wonderful youth program that we have here at Asbury. These are two of our favorite youth, Josh and Bradley, very active in all the programming that we do. We meet on Sunday evenings, Wednesday evenings, throughout the summer and the year. Our youth attend ministry conferences across the state, are very active in outreach and missions through Ozark Mission Project and things locally. As most of you know, our youth director, Amy Shores, took a new position about 2 months ago, and so we are working diligently to keep the youth ministries active and vibrant here at Asbury. We are very grateful for everybody who is participating in that. We want to ask two things this morning. Number one, that you reach out to people you know, share that we have an opening. We are actively looking for a new youth minister. Let people know that there is a need. Let people know that we have a wonderful church body here and wonderful youth that need strong leadership. I know an email went out this week with the job description. Please feel free to share that with your network. Share that on social media. Just let people know that we are in need of that. The second thing that we want to ask is if you feel called at all to participate in the youth ministries here at Asbury, we would love for you to do that. We are planning for the spring semester. We're looking for teachers. We're looking for adults to just be chaperones, to be here for activities, to go on trips with our students. We are looking for people to provide meals on Sunday evenings. And so if you feel called at all in any of these areas, please reach out to myself, to Lauren, to the Goldens, to Reverend Mary, Reverend Doug, anybody else who is involved with the youth ministries. We would love to find ways to get you plugged in and involved. So thank you for that. And then, thanks guys. We'll segue into the lighting of the Advent candle.
Today we will be lighting the second candle on the Advent wreath, and I will be reading from Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government of peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
We light this candle as a symbol of Christ, the Prince of Peace, who taught us he brings a peace not as the world can give, but only as he can offer. As we live our lives, may we extend daily the peace of Christ, which passeth all understanding. Please join us in the congressional prayer response as printed in your bulletin. Father God, may your Holy Spirit visit your people with great hope and peace upon each heart. We give you thanks and praise for Jesus Christ, the author of our salvation and the deliverer of peace to all. In his holy name, amen.
Would like for everyone please to stand up, find somebody that you don't know, shake their hand, welcome them, and let's pass the peace of Christ.
All righty, while those adults are sitting back down, if we could have our kiddos come on up here, we have a special children's moment.
Good morning, young friends. My name is Mr. Patrick, and I am so excited to be hanging out with you this morning. And I hear we have another special guest, so let me see if I can get him to appear. Ah, stewardship. Stewardship. What are you doing?
Oh, hi, Patrick. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, listen, I was just putting up some Christmas decorations. I'm getting ready for things in order to get ready for the Advent season, which has already started.
Yeah, we began Advent season last Sunday. Did you know there are a lot of things going on during Advent season here at Asbury?
Yes, I know one. I know one.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. This was so cool. We had a jingle bell last Sunday night, and it was amazing. We had lots of people there. Everyone ate and sang, and the kids did an amazing job. And lastly, Santa came to visit. Ooh!
That was a fun evening, and everyone had a blast.
Well, what else is going on this Advent season?
Well, we have several opportunities for missions during this time. On Christmas Eve Day, our families can do stone soup, serve dinner with our prison ministry, or just donate coats for the residents. Our children are collecting blankets and tarps for the stone soup. And lastly, anyone can bring food for our food pantry for the children at Jefferson Elementary, or you can ring the bell for the Salvation Army.
Something for everyone to do or to be involved in.
That's right, stewardship. But mostly, we want to remember the true meaning of Advent season as we prepare for the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Hey, children. Hey, kids. Let's pray all together. Hi, Heavenly Father. It's Stuart, and it's the kids here, too. And we pray that you will help us to remember the true meaning of Advent. And help us to keep our minds clear and our brains focused for your will as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Bye, kids. Have fun today.
Goodbye, Stuart. And adults, we have a special treat for you this morning. We're going to be led in worship by our handbell choir.
And we also want to thank our guest maestro this morning. Thank you, sir. It is a, man, it's just a joyful morning this morning. I want to call your attention, please, to those who have asked, specifically asked for prayer. On the back of the bulletin, Emily Evans, Mildred Bradley, Bob McInturf, Judah Stout, Beverly Watt, Charlie Ward Sr., Reverend Wayne Jarvis. And I also want to add one name to this list, please. Stephen Eds, you all know Stephen. His wife is having coronary surgery this upcoming Wednesday. So do keep her and the Eds family in your prayers, please. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty Father, we just want to say we love you so much this morning. We say that because we know that you loved us first and more than we will ever be able to comprehend. Your love is higher than the highest mountain, deepest than the deepest point of the oceans, and brighter than any noonday sun. This morning, we know your love has no boundaries, nor does it have an end. Today, we recognize there is a song in the air, and that song is to sing praises to you, because you are so worthy of our praise. We feel the excitement of the season as we get closer to the day of celebrating the birth of your Son. We acknowledge we would be nothing without your sacrifice. He came from glorious heaven to this earth in the form of a human to walk among us, to teach us, and to show your unending love to us when we did not deserve it. We thank you for a grace that we will never understand. Father, we ask that you watch over those who are less fortunate than we, those who are away from loved ones, and to comfort those who are grieving during this season because of a loss of a loved one. Pour out your love to all these, your children. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers are coming forward, I just want to reiterate what Brian and Lauren and the guys told you this morning. We do need help with the youth group. We want to keep that ministry thriving. Amy built it, and it was built on the church. It was not built on her. So things are in place, and focus is in place. So if you really, if you're having just a small tug of your heartstring to get involved with the youth, I urge you to do that. Let's pray, please. Loving Lord, we could give all that we have to you, and we would never be able to outgive the wonderful gifts and blessings you have given us. Bless these tithes and gifts this day, and the giver, so they multiply to further the coming of your kingdom here on earth. And we ask this in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Set the night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see? A star, high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea, with a tail as big as a man. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
Father, we come before you so thankful this morning. As we celebrate Advent together, there is so much anticipation. There is so much excitement, knowing that you are Emmanuel, God with us. We are so grateful. Speak to us this morning. Be with us here in this place. It's in the heavenly name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Has it been a joyous celebration this morning? Has it been? Excuse me. Well, you know, we exhibit that emotion of joy many different ways. We clap, we yell, we scream, we smile, we cry. We may cry a little. We may cry a lot. But can you remember the last time that you were so joyous you wanted to scream at the top of your lungs standing on the edge of a cliff like behind Mather Lodge up on Pettigean Mountain to the valley below? I just get that picture. It's kind of hard to remember that time because here's what we remember. We remember the last time very vividly that we were so upset we wanted to scream at the top of our lungs, right? Like sitting on 6:30 at 7:45 in the morning trying to get downtown and the traffic's not moving and your poor steering wheel just getting beat to death. Or somebody at work maybe found that last nerve that you have and now they're doing a tap dance on it. But you know, today there is a lot of joy in the air. Something that comes to mind, and they show it a lot on TV. You remember when Tiger Woods won his first major championship in 1997, I believe it was. Man, when that last putt fell, the ball fell in the 18th green and fell in the hole, he just started fist pumping. If you're not a golf fan, I sure hope you're a basketball fan because I can very clearly remember 1994 when the Razorbacks won the national championship. They were falling all over each other, half court, free throw line. They were crying. They were blubbering, jumping up and down, acting a fool. And yeah, they got the net. Everybody got to cut it down. And I believe it was Corliss Williams that put it on his head and was dancing around. They were joyous. They had so much joy. They didn't care what they looked like. They were going to show people. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn. Now, I'm going to be reading out of the NIV this morning, and we're going to be reading in the first chapter of Luke, beginning in the 46th verse. And I just pray that as these words are read aloud, that you don't hear my voice, but you hear the voice of God, and that these words give you joy this morning. Verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." The word of God for the people of God. We all know, if I were to ask you who Mary is, that'd be kind of one of those questions of, duh. We know Mary is the mother of Jesus. But what I want to discuss with you this morning is I want to get outside of Mary's song and see what else was going on. To do so, we've got to look at where Mary was. Mary was the mother of Jesus, but here are a few things. She was the cousin to Elizabeth, who was the wife of Zechariah, the priest Zechariah. And of course, Zechariah and Elizabeth were the parents of John the Baptist. Scripture tells us that Mary could have possibly had a very distinctive voice. Because when Mary's voice was, when she spoke to Elizabeth, when she entered her house, it says that John the Baptist, inside his mother's womb, recognized her voice and leapt in her womb. It was at that moment, at that greeting, that the Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth as well as John. We also know that Mary was from Nazareth. It's a little farming community, and Bethlehem, they say that she was also from Bethlehem as well, possibly from a marketing standpoint where they went to sell all of their wares or sell the product of their toils in the field. So, but primarily she was in Nazareth. Nazareth, I think, is probably about the size of Keo and maybe Bethlehem the size of England. Don't know, but that's the picture I get. Her occupation, like every other young girl in that town, she was a homemaker. And she studied the law as she was supposed to. She studied the law and the prophets so well that the scripture says that she was a devout young woman who was morally strong. So much so, she was seen as that by the other young women in the town, but also by God himself. She would have, in her daily chores, she would have helped clean the house, help keep things in order, teach the younger children in the house, help recite the Torah as well as the prophets, and to prepare meals and just do the assisting job, helping her mother daily. We also know that her husband, Joseph, or husband-to-be at this point, are the only two humans, the only two individuals to see and to witness the birth of Christ. Now, once Jesus turns 12 and he's found in the temple, we all know the story of he was left and they found him teaching in the temple. We don't know a lot about Joseph after that. It's believed that Joseph could have died because there's nothing in scriptures following that. We also know that Mary was at the foot of the cross when Jesus died, making her the only person to be at both the birth of Jesus and at the death of Jesus. Like other women in the tribe of Judah, she made herself available to God daily. But Mary, as the archangel told her, found favor with God. And if you remember, Judah was the righteous tribe. It was prophesied that all of the other tribes of the nation of Israel saw Judah as the righteous tribe. The scriptures that we read this morning is called Mary's Song of Praise. And I read out of the NIV. Some of your Bibles, if you're reading out of the Revised Standard or the New Revised Standard, which is closest to the actual Greek translation, the word, this section is also titled the Magnificat. Now, the Magnificat is Latin, and it means magnify. Now, if you were to read this song in Latin, Magnificat would be the first word in Mary's song. And that's how they're structured. So that is why this is called the Magnificat. But the word glorifies in the NIV versus magnifies in the New Revised Standard. Magnifies to me just kind of says so much more. This is a beautiful song. As a matter of fact, in the first service and also in the second divine service, the choir is singing a version of this song in the special music. But let's just think for a minute just why Mary had this Magnificat, why she had this joyous song in her heart. Because you don't sing happy songs if you're sad. She had been filled with love and with joy. Well, Mary, like all other women in the tribe of Judah, knew from the prophets that the new king of Israel, the one that would reunite all of Israel together, would be born through the house of David from the tribe of Judah. And I'm sure, like all other young women in that tribe, in that city, dreamed of giving birth to the next king, just like all of the rest of them would. Now, Mary was confused at first by the visit of the archangel Gabriel. In verse 29, we see Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. And you can read that. But Gabriel continued to tell her that she was chosen by God to give birth to a son. And in verse 32, he said, "Will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, for his kingdom will have no end." What did Gabriel just tell her? Not only was she going to give birth, she was going to give, which was, you know, happy enough, she was going to give birth to a son. She was going to give birth to the new king. But then, one step more, she was going to give birth to the Son of the Most High. Well, she must have felt overwhelmed at that point and excitement. But like all of us, her logical mind kicked in and she said, "Hold up. How can this be? Because I'm still a virgin. I've never been with a man." Well, with this question, Gabriel answered, and he told her that she was going to give birth, that the Holy Spirit would come upon her. Gabriel, bringing the message from God, not only met her expectations that she would be the one that would be chosen to give birth to the king, but met and exceeded her expectations. How many times do we pray and we say, "Lord, help me out of this situation," or, "Lord, please help this happen," or, "Help this happen," or for your kingdom's sake, let this be. And God says, okay, and then goes far beyond what our wildest expectations could be to put his stamp on his plans, not ours. Well, Mary was overwhelmed because it finally hit her what was happening. She would be the mother of not only the new king, but the Messiah. And in verse 38, Mary said, without question, she humbled herself, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. Mary must have been so excited at that point. I'm not sure if she was the only one there or not, but she might have, maybe done a fist pump or two herself, or maybe cut down the nets on the basketball court, or even ran down to the Nazareth football stadium to tear down some goalposts or something. I don't know. But she had to be excited, so much so that she said, I got to tell somebody. So she headed for Elizabeth's house. She had to go see her cousin. We don't know how long it took to get there, but just think, she doesn't have anybody with her. Things are just going over and over and over in her mind. Scriptures don't say that if the Holy Spirit came upon her or not before then, but we can surmise that it did happen, because when Mary walked in and greeted her cousin, the Holy Spirit immediately filled Elizabeth and her son, John. And Elizabeth said, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She didn't recognize her as her cousin Mary. She recognizes her as the mother of my Lord. The joy of Mary on that trip, and then the confirmation of Elizabeth in the words that she just spoke, must have filled them both with joy. And the song that we read this morning is the outpouring of that joy. And I could just see them dancing around and around in the room. And Zechariah, if you remember, was struck dumb. He couldn't speak because he didn't believe that his wife, who was barren, was going to have a child. And I picture him over in the corner going, and in his mind going, these crazy women, what are they doing? Let's look at the scriptures just for a few minutes this morning and just see what Mary's song is. I'm going to break it down just a little bit. Verses 46 to 49 says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. This initial part of Mary's song shows where her heart is. And it's not a haughty heart. It's not a prideful heart. It still remains humble. She's happy, and not only happy, that her spirit also, as the scripture says, rejoices because of what the Lord has done for her. She sings because her humbleness has been recognized and that she will give birth to the King. It's hard for me to imagine a couple of teenage girls, other than the ones that I had in my house, when they get to singing and dancing around, they're going to tear stuff up. And I'm sure that was Elizabeth and that was Mary, just so joyous. But it wasn't just a child. It was so much more. Moving on into the second part, we're going to move from to see, talk about her spirit. In verse 50 to 53, it says, His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away. Her song moves from her, where her heart is, and she moves to where the people are. She glorifies God, singing about how mighty his deeds are, that with just the slightest of effort with his hand, that he divides those who are humble in his sight and who are keeping his laws, to those who even in their minds and in their thoughts are self-centered. They think of no one but themselves. These are the people that are exactly opposite of Mary. They are not humble where she is. She doesn't sing boastfully. She sings possibly, this could be a portion of her song that is not as joyous, that could be sad because of the way that the people are going to realize what is happening to them. But she does sing of how the humble will be raised up over those who rule unfairly and whose thrones have been brought down by God. Deceptive rulers, as we know, eventually will be exposed by God, as God knows the hearts and the minds of all men and women. And finally, beginning in verse 54 and 55, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. She rejoices about the nation. She's moved from herself and her heart to the people around her that she sees, to the nation as a whole moving outward. She rejoices in how the Lord has remembered the nation and has been merciful to them. She shows here in this last two verses, these last two stanzas of her song, her knowledge of the law and of the prophets, because she rejoices and praises God for keeping his promises that he made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and all their descendants in accordance with the covenants that he made between him and the nation. Now Mary spent the next 3 months with Elizabeth, no doubt dancing and singing and preparing for Elizabeth's baby's arrival. After that, she returned home. Now, the Gospel of Luke doesn't tell us, but we can find in the Gospel of Matthew that word had gotten back to Joseph that his bride-to-be was pregnant. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him and told him not to be afraid, to take her as his wife. So this is this event, and if a couple of weeks ago, I brought a message about the heart of Joseph, and this is interjected right into the middle of this time period. The town of Nazareth must have been buzzing, or I could say the town of Keogh must have been buzzing about the news that barren Elizabeth, the lady that, you know, was the priest's wife, couldn't have a baby, she's about to give birth. Thank you, Lord. And how the priest, Zechariah, that loudmouth priest that talking all the time, he hadn't been able to say a word for the past 9 months. Something is going on. Don't know what it is. Well, we can be certain that the Holy Spirit was working, revealing to some that the Messiah was coming. The time for the nation of Israel to have a new king was at hand. And it was Mary, humble, young Mary, who lived her life honoring God, made herself available, and would give birth to not only the next king, but to the Son of the Most High, the Son of the living God. Joseph's heart was on a roller coaster right here in the middle of all of this. He had his ups and his downs and his love and his joy and his sorrow because of the news that he had had. Today, we don't see any of that. We see Mary's heart full of joy and continuing to multiply and to grow and to grow. Nazareth must have been buzzing as well about Mary. She was favored. They knew something was happening. They didn't know what it was. They couldn't explain it with their own minds. But word had gotten out. The king is coming. Miraculous things had happened to Mary, and miraculous things were going to happen. There was a song of joy in the air because the Messiah is on his way. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we just thank you for this message this morning. We thank you for the joy that we can read about that you put into Mary's heart, the son of the mother of your son, the son of the Most High, the son of the living God. Father, she was favored among all women, but Lord, her humbleness continued to just show throughout her very life as a young woman all the way to the cross. Father, help these words to get into our hearts and into our minds and to see the joyous thing that was about to happen, and that all of Nazareth, all of Israel would be buzzing, even outside the boundaries of that nation. Father, we love you this morning, and we just want to express our joy to you because there is a song in the air. We praise you and we honor you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. If you'd like to pray this morning, if you feel so moved that our prayer rails are open, but also I'd like to invite you that as you're standing, that if you'd like to come forward and join this fellowship, join this family that we call Asbury, that now's the time to do so by whatever means is appropriate, either through your confession of faith in Jesus Christ or through transfer of a letter or through restoration into the church. We would be more than happy to join you. I know not just me, but everybody here. So as we stand, please let us just be in a that mind state of prayer and let the Lord speak to you this morning.
Child is there to lay to rest. Thank you so much for being here this morning. It was a blessing to see you. And if you see an empty chair beside you and you know somebody is there, if they're not traveling, call them and just say, hey, this is the Advent season. We're having a blast. Come, enjoy. Next week, in here, is going to be the music extravaganza. Wow. With new lights on the stage, and it looks fantastic. It really, really does. It sets the mood. And then the week after that is Christmas Eve with 10 o'clock in the morning, and then 4, 7, and 11 in the night. In the evening, candlelight service. I will be a tired puppy by then. But in the afternoon, there's going to be so much more. There's other missions. Stone Soup is going to be that afternoon as well. Something else is going on that afternoon. I can't remember. Looking at Carol, she's giving me one of those I don't know looks. I'm in your boat. Okay, so the prison ministry serving lunch to them, dinner to them. Okay, it is going to be a packed. And if you don't get involved, you're missing a blessing. That's all I can say. You're missing a blessing. So happy to see you here this morning. If you were blessed, say amen.
Amen.
Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you for this, your children, your church. Father, help us to be your hands and feet as we go throughout this city, throughout this state, throughout this country, throughout this world, spreading your good news that the Messiah is coming. And everyone said, amen. Amen.